Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. We're here to cut through the noise and get you truly informed on topics you're keen to explore. Today, we're taking a deep, really fascinating look at a figure who has dominated charts, screens, and cultural conversations for, well, over a decade now, Ariana Grande. We've poured through a wealth of information, loads of articles, research, our own notes too, to bring you a comprehensive understanding of her incredible journey. And this isn't just going to be a chronological list of achievements, you know, it's more an exploration of the pivotal moments that shaped her, the records she didn't just break, but absolutely shattered. And also the surprising way she's influenced music, business, and even, yeah, social discourse.
Indeed. And what's truly insightful here isn't solely her extraordinary vocal talent, though obviously that's huge. It's also the strategic evolution of her artistry, her groundbreaking impact on the modern streaming landscape, which you really can't overstate, and also how she's navigated intense public scrutiny while somehow maintaining this powerful sense of authenticity. So we're going to dissect her trajectory, connect the dots between her creative choices and her commercial juggernaut status, and uncover why she's rightly considered one of the most influential artists of our era.
Exactly. So settle in and get ready to discover the surprising facts and key insights behind the phenomenon that is Ariana Grande Butera. Our mission today is to give you that shortcut, that real deep understanding, to being truly well-informed about an artist who has profoundly made her mark. Okay, let's unpack this then. Even at a very young age, it seems abundantly clear that Ariana Grande Butera was, well, destined for the stage. Born June 26, 1993, in Boca Raton, Florida. And she comes from a family with pretty strong entrepreneurial spirit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Her mother, Joan Grande, is the CEO of Host McCann Communications. It's a marine communications equipment company. Been in the family since 64. And her father, Edward Butera, owned a graphic design firm. So, yeah, definitely that background.
And she's got Italian heritage, Sicilian and Abruzzo's roots, plus an older half-brother, Frankie Grande, who's also pretty well known as an entertainer.
Right. Her parents separated when she was quite young, maybe 8 or 9. But she had this really close bond with her maternal grandmother, Marjorie Grande, who everyone knows as Nana.
Yeah, Nana's a legend. Okay, so her early performance experiences, they weren't just like school plays. They were incredibly diverse. Get this. At just 8 years old, she sang the Star Spangled Banner at a Florida Panthers hockey game. 8.
Incredible. And not just a one-off. She was deep into community theater, too, with the Fort Lauderdale Children's Theater. She played the title role in Annie, which is demanding. Plus roles in The Wizard of Oz, Beauty and the Beast.
Wow, but it wasn't all formal stuff either. She was singing in karaoke lounges on cruise ships.
Yeah, and performing with actual orchestras. South Florida's Philharmonic, the Florida Sunshine Pops. So you see, this wasn't just a kid with a good voice. This was someone actively, deeply cultivating their craft from day one.
That's a really good way to put it. It shows that foundation was solid.
Exactly. The real insight from those early years isn't just the talent, it's the deliberate cultivation, like you said. Those varied experiences, formal theater, cruise ships, orchestras, they forged this unique adaptability and stage presence. You can see how that early exposure influenced her later vocal style, her comfort on stage. It really prepared her for the pivots later in her career.
Right. It wasn't just a sudden thing. It was built over years.
It establishes that performing was fundamental to her, not just some passing interest.
Absolutely. And that passion, specifically for music, was incredibly focused from early on. As a teenager, she moves to Los Angeles. She's just 14, meeting with managers. And her vision is already laser sharp. She tells them she wants to record an R&B album.
At 14. Can you imagine being the manager hearing that pitch?
Right. Predictably, there was skepticism. Managers were apparently like, who's going to buy a 14-year-old's R&B album?
Yeah, not exactly the standard path. But that dream, that specific sound she wanted, it just stuck with her.
And around that same time, 2008, before the TV fame, she makes her Broadway debut, cast as cheerleader Charlotte in the musical 13.
Right, so she's already on Broadway, proving her performance chops on a major stage. But yeah, her heart was clearly set on that R&B path. Even then, that artistic vision was defined super early.
Long before most of us knew her name, it really underscores that determination.
It really does. And it's a recurring theme, that clarity of purpose, despite, you know, industry expectations or trends. It shows her R&B aspirations weren't some later addition. They were core to who she was as an artist from the beginning.
Okay, so that R&B dream had to wait just a little bit longer. The next big step was Nickelodeon. In 2009, she gets cast in Victorious. And she's reunited with her 13 co-star, Elizabeth Gillies.
Yeah, playing Cat Valentine. That character became iconic. The show ran from 2010 to 2013.
And playing Kat, the adorably dim-witted character as they described her, it came with challenges like the hair dye.
Oh, the red hair. She had to dye it constantly, like every other week. That was major damage. She's spoken about that.
I bet. But the show is huge. Premiered in March 2010 to 5.7 million viewers. That's massive.
Absolutely. Instant teen idol status, pretty much overnight.
But even with all that TV success, music was still number one for her. She explicitly said, acting is fun, but music has always been first and foremost with me.
And she backed that up. Started working on her debut album in August 2010, right after Victoria's Season 1 finished filming.
And she was smart about it, using YouTube, uploading covers of Adele, Whitney, Mariah Carey, her idols.
Right, and that's what got her noticed by Republic Records. A friend of the CEO, Monty Lipman, saw one of those videos.
Incredible. Shows the power of putting yourself out there.
Definitely. And she kept busy with Nickelodeon Beyond Victorious, too. Voice work, other small roles.
Yeah, Snowflake, The White Gorilla, Winx Club, starred in a Snow White Christmas panto, the TV movie Swindle.
And when Victorious ended, Kat Valentine lived on in the spinoff, Sam and Kat.
Right, with Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah.
That character was just too popular to let go.
So if you step back and look at this period, it's really a masterclass in strategy. She used that huge Nickelodeon platform to build an audience, a massive young fan base.
While simultaneously kind of behind the scenes.
Exactly. Diligently working towards her primary goal, music. It gave her recognition, prepared her for the public eye.
Even with the tough stuff like the hair dyeing, it showed commitment.
Totally. A commitment to her real passion, even amidst that whirlwind of TV fame.
Okay, now this next chapter, this is where things really shift into high gear musically. That R&B album she dreamt of at 14, it finally happened. August 30, 2013, Yours Truly drops.
And it wasn't just like a respectable debut, it was massive. Straight to number one of the Billboard 200.
Yeah, 138,000 copies first week. That's a huge statement for a debut. And it charted top 10 internationally, too.
And the sound. That retro-inspired pop and R&B, the 50s doo-wop influence.
Wow.
It was so distinct.
Very much her own thing, right from the start. The lead single, The Way, featuring Mac Miller.
Instant hit. Debuted top 10 on the Hot 100, peaked at number 9. That song really announced her arrival as a serious vocalist.
Totally shifted the perception from TV star to music artist. And there were other great singles, too. Baby I, right there, with Big Sean.
Mm-hmm. Though The Way did have that lawsuit attached to it, the one from Minor Music over a lyric sample.
Right, that's true. Small bump in the road. But she also dropped the Christmas Kisses EP later that year.
Keeping the momentum going. But Yours Truly was the main event. It was that declaration. She was here. R&B-infused pop, incredible voice.
Yeah, the comparisons to Mariah Carey started almost immediately.
And understandably so. Given the vocal range and the R&B leaning, it marked that critical pivot, a clear statement of artistic identity.
And she didn't waste any time building on it. Less than a year later, August 2014, My Everything Comes Out.
Another number one debut on the Billboard 200. 169,000 copies first week. Just solidified her power.
And this album showed more versatility, didn't it? Exploring EDM, dance pop, electro sounds.
Absolutely. She wasn't just sticking to one formula. And the lead single, Problem with Iggy Azalea. Just wow.
Total monster hit. Peaked at number 2 in the U.S., number 1 U.K., New Zealand.
And the digital sales were insane. Highest first week digital sales of 2014 made her the youngest woman to debut with over 400,000 downloads.
8th best-selling digital single globally that year. Just massive.
And the hits just kept rolling off that album. Break Free with Zedd.
Number 4 in the U.S.
Right.
Then Bang Bang with Jessie J and Nicki Minaj.
Number 1 U.K., number 3 U.S., and Diamond Certified. First all-female collaboration ever to achieve that. That's historic.
Incredible. And that gave her 3 top 10 singles on the Hot 100 at the same time, right? Only Adele had done that before her as a female lead artist.
Precisely. Problem, Break Free, Bang Bang, chart domination.
And then Love Me Harder with the weekend hit number 7. That was her 4th top 10 single in 2014 alone.
The most by any artist that year. She was just unstoppable.
And we can't forget Santa Tell Me from that same year, which has become this modern Christmas classic.
Totally. Hitting the top 5 on the Hot 100 years later shows incredible staying power for a holiday song.
So everything really cemented her as a global force, capable of crossing genres and just churning out hits.
Yeah, it showcased her versatility, her collaboration skills. It locked in her status as a major commercial powerhouse. The agility was key.
Now, this next period involves stepping into more mature sounds, but also facing an incredibly difficult pivotal moment. She started recording Dangerous Woman, her third album, in 2015. It was originally called Moonlight.
Right, the initial lead single was Focus, which hit the top 10, but then they pivoted to the title track, Dangerous Woman.
And Dangerous Woman also debuted in the top 10,
Right.
making her the first artist ever to have the lead single from their first three albums debut top 10.
That consistency is just remarkable. And her SNL hosting gig around that time was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, she killed it. The impressions Whitney, Celine, Britney were amazing, plus performing Dangerous Woman and Be All Right.
Showcased her range, musically and comedically. The album itself debuted at number 2 on Billboard, number 1 elsewhere. Got a Grammy nom too.
Yeah, Best Pop Vocal Album. And Side to Side with Nicki Minaj was another huge hit from it, her eighth top 10.
But then, May 22, 2017, the Manchester Arena bombing.
Yeah, a horrific tragedy at her concert. 22 people killed, hundreds injured, just unthinkable.
She immediately suspended the tour, understandably.
Yeah.
But her response was extraordinary.
The One Love Manchester benefit concert, just 2 weeks later, June 4th.
Bringing together artists like Liam Gallagher, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, it was such a powerful statement of unity and resilience.
And it raised $23 million for the victims and families, an incredible amount.
The city named her their first honorary citizen. She even reportedly turned down a damehood, feeling it was too soon.
Wow, she handled an unimaginable situation with such grace and strength. The tour resumed later that summer.
That moment, Manchester, it transcends music. It raises that important question about artistry and responsibility. Her response wasn't just charity, it was profound solidarity, healing, leadership under the worst possible pressure.
Absolutely. It cemented her place as more than just an entertainer. She became a symbol of compassion for many.
And following that trauma, you really see her channeling that vulnerability into her next musical phase.
Right, sweetener. She'd started working on it with Pharrell Williams back in 2016. The lead single, No Tears Left to Cry, came out in April 2018. Such a powerful, uplifting return.
And it debuted at number 3 on the Hot 100, extending that incredible record lead single from her first four albums debuting top 10, only artist ever.
Sweetener itself debuted at number 1, got rave reviews, and it won her first Grammy.
Yes, Best Pop Vocal Album, a huge moment. God is a Woman was another top 10 hit from it, too.
And 9 songs from the album charted simultaneously on the Hot 100. Shows the depth of the record.
Plus, the docuseries, Dangerous Woman Diaries, gave insight into the tour, making Sweetener and, yeah, processing Manchester.
But then came Thank You Next, and this felt like a whole different level of control and raw honesty.
Oh, completely. November 2018, she just drops the single Thank You Next, completely unannounced.
And it exploded. Instantly.
Yeah.
Debuted at number 1 on the Hot 100, her first US chart topper.
Spent 7 weeks there. Certified 8X Platinum now. It was a cultural phenomena.
The music video, too. Broke YouTube records, most watched in 24 hours, fastest to 100M views on Vevo.
Spotify records, too. Fastest to 100M streams, most streams for a female artist in 24 hours. Until she broke that herself with Seven Rings.
Right, Seven Rings, January 2019. Another unannounced drop, another debut at number 1, her second in a row.
And that spent 8 weeks at number 1. Became her biggest hit on the chart, eventually certified diamond. Just incredible.
Then the album Thank You Next follows in February 2019. Debuts at number 1, obviously. Her fourth number 1 album.
And her second number 1 album in less than 6 months. Shortest gap for a woman at the time.
It broke streaming records too, largest streaming week for a pop album for any female album. 307 million streams in a week.
And then the chart feat that blew everyone's minds. Holding the top 3 spots on the Hot 100 simultaneously.
Seven Rings, Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored, and Thank You, Next. First solo artist since the Beatles in 64 to do that.
Unreal. Plus, she broke the record for most simultaneous top 40 hits for a female artist, with 11 tracks charting.
Yeah, Thank You, Next wasn't just music, it was a cultural moment. The candor, the release strategy. She was absolutely paving her own way.
It was a masterclass, truly. Transforming personal pain into relatable anthems, taking control of the narrative, disrupting the industry norms.
It showed a new level of artistic maturity and business savvy.
And that momentum carried right into 2019 and 2020, where she really solidified her status as this go-to collaborator.
Yeah, first co-exec producing the Charlie's Angels soundtrack in 2019.
And releasing Boyfriend with Social House, which topped the Rolling Stone chart for women.
Then 2020 was just hit after hit with collaborations. Stuck With You with Justin Bieber in May.
A charity single for COVID relief, which was great, and it debuted at number 1 on the Hot 100.
Making her the first artist whose first three number ones all debuted at the top. That's a crazy stat.
It really is. And then just weeks later, she's on Lady Gaga's Rain on Me.
Which also debuted at number one, breaking the record again for most number one debuts. And they won a Grammy for it.
Best pop duo group performance. Just stacking up the accolades.
Then, October 2020, her sixth album, Positions.
Another number one debut on the Billboard 200. Her fifth.
And that set another record fastest accumulation of three number one albums by a woman.
The title track, Positions, also debuted atop the Hot 100, her fifth chart topper.
Which made her the first artist ever to have five number one debuts on the Hot 100.
And the first, whose first five number ones all debuted at the top. She just kept rewriting the record books.
Wild. And 34 plus 35 became a huge hit too, especially the remix with Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion.
Reached number two. And she even replaced herself at number one on the pop airplay chart and held the top two spots solo. Unprecedented stuff.
So this period really shows her not just as a solo star, but as someone who elevates every project she joins.
Absolutely. Her consistent record-breaking debuts demonstrate this unparalleled commercial appeal, this ability to connect instantly with a massive audience. She's a hit maker, solo or collaborating.
And this latest chapter, it shows Ariana evolving yet again, musically, professionally, embracing new sounds, and circling back to acting.
Right, starting with the Save Your Tears remix with The Weeknd in April 2021.
Another number one on the Hot 100 and the Global 200 made her the first woman with multiple number ones on that global chart.
And that collab tied her with Paul McCartney, only artist with three number one duets on the Hot 100. Incredible company.
Then, March 2024, Eternal Sunshine, her seventh album. And this felt like a fresh direction.
Definitely her first real deep dive into dance and house music influences, and it was met with universal acclaim.
Critics called it one of her most mature, sophisticated records. The lead single, Yes And.
Debuted at number one, Hot 100 and Global 200, keeping the streak alive.
And the second single, We Can't Be Friends, Wait for Your Love, also debuted at number one.
Which gave her the record for the woman with the most Hot 100 number one debuts, seven now.
And with Eternal Sunshine and Thank You, next, she's the first woman with two albums to produce multiple number one single debuts.
Yeah.
Just wow.
The consistency is staggering. But alongside this musical shift, she also signaled a focus shift towards acting.
Right. Saying she'd likely scale back the pop music output a bit, and she proved that commitment with Wicked.
Starring as Glinda in the huge 2024 film adaptation, and she got incredible reviews, even an Oscar nomination.
Yeah. And she was credited as Ariana Grande Butera for the film, which was a nice touch, linking back to when she first saw the show as a kid.
Took extensive acting and singing lessons for it, too. Really dedicated herself to the role.
And the film was a massive success, right? Highest grossing musical adaptation ever.
Over $750 million worldwide. Huge. And her SNL hosting gig to promote it got the show its best ratings in years.
And then she released the deluxe Eternal Sunshine with a short film, her directorial debut.
It really shows this evolution into a multifaceted artist. Pop star, acclaimed actress, now director.
It's not your typical pop star trajectory at all.
No, it's a strategic diversification, leveraging that early theater background, showing real artistic growth beyond just music. It suggests a more mature, self-directed artist defining her own path, moving beyond expectations.
So beyond the charts and the acting, let's dig into her artistry itself. Her hands-on approach is pretty remarkable. Her music is generally pop and R&B, but she's consistently woven in other elements, EDM, hip-hop, and especially trap, right?
Yeah, the trap influence became really prominent, particularly starting around the Christmas and Chill EP, and grew from there. A lot of that comes through her collaboration with producer Tommy Brown. They've worked together on every single album.
And she's praised him for always bringing diverse beats, saying, "None of the beats he plays me ever sound the same. That synergy is key."
Absolutely. But what really sets her apart is her level of creative control and technical involvement.
This is fascinating. She actually learned to sound engineer and produce her own vocals.
Yes,
Wow.
because she loves being hands-on, and apparently it was Mac Miller who first taught her Pro Tools, the recording software.
Wow, that's a great detail. And her collaborators notice this deep involvement.
Right. Songwriter Justin Tranter talked about being inspired by how engaged she is. From the writing to the vision to the storytelling and to even engineering and comping her own vocals.
So she's not just showing up to sing, she's deeply involved in crafting the whole sound.
Exactly. That level of creative control is crucial. It ensures her artistic vision stays consistent, even as she explores different genres. She's an architect of her sound.
And then there's the voice itself. It's legendary, described as a soprano.
With a four-octave vocal range, apparently. And that whistle registered those incredibly high notes she can hit.
Yeah, the comparisons to Mariah Carey have been there from the start, mainly because of that range and control.
BBC News called her one of pop's most intriguing and gifted singers with unrivaled vocal control.
John Perales at the New York Times had a great description. Her voice can be silky, breathy, or cutting, always supple and airborne, never forced. Shows the versatility.
And her main influences are exactly who you'd expect. Mariah Carey, her favorite human being on the planet, she said.
And Whitney Houston, two absolute titans.
Plus others like Destiny's Child, Celine Dion, Christina Aguilera, even Madonna for paving the way.
And Judy Garland, interestingly, for her storytelling through song.
Yeah, shows an appreciation for emotional delivery, not just technique.
Now, there was some criticism early on about her enunciation, right?
There was, yeah, something she acknowledged and said she worked on.
And critics definitely noted improvement, especially on Eternal Sunshine, attributing it partly to the intense vocal training for Wicked.
Right. It shows the continuous dedication to refining her instrument, even after achieving massive success. Her voice is central to everything.
And not just vocal influences, though. Musically, she cited others like India Airy.
Whose music makes her feel like everything is going to be okay. And Brandi Norwood for her incredibly on-point riffs.
And Imogen Heap is a huge one for her, right?
Yeah.
Called Heap her favorite musician, praised her intricate song structure.
That eclectic taste definitely informs her own willingness to experiment.
But here's a really key insight into her strategic thinking, her independence. She talked about rappers' release strategies.
Yes, this is fascinating. She admired how rappers could just drop music unexpectedly.
She told Billboard she felt pop women were held to different, stricter standards than men.
Bruh, I just want to drop music the way these boys do. That was her quote.
And that directly led to the surprise release of Thank You next.
Exactly. The Ringer called it more of a Drake move than an Ariana Grande move at the time.
It was a deliberate choice to challenge those traditional pop rollouts, take control of her narrative.
It shows a really savvy understanding of the modern music landscape and a strong desire for creative autonomy, not just following the rules, but changing them.
Okay, let's talk about her public image. Her style evolution alone has been really interesting to watch.
Definitely. Early on, she cited Audrey Hepburn as an influence. More modest, age-appropriate, as some described it.
But she later said she found that a little boring, right? And started drawing from 50s, 60s actresses like Anne Margaret, Nancy Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, by 2014, there was a clear shift. She embraced the short skirts, crop tops, the signature knee-high boots for performances.
And the playful stuff too, the cat ears, the bunny ears sometimes, the oversized hoodies.
But nothing became more iconic than the high ponytail.
The ponytail, it's almost its own entity. Gets more attention than anything else she wears sometimes.
And the backstory is interesting too. It wasn't just a style choice initially.
Right, because of all the red hair dye for Victoria's damaging her hair so badly.
She started wearing extensions and defaulted to the ponytail to manage it while her hair recovered. It became her signature look out of necessity almost.
And now it's instantly recognizable, copied everywhere. It really tracks her journey from teen star to confident woman.
And navigating public scrutiny has been a constant part of that journey. She learned to manage her image pretty effectively over time.
Back in 2014, there were those reports about alleged diva behavior being impolite.
Which she shut down as weird, inaccurate depictions, saying she wouldn't let others control her image, setting a boundary early on.
Then came the Donut Gate incident in 2015. That was memorable.
Yeah, the security footage of her licking donuts and saying, "I hate Americans." Not her finest moment.
She apologized quickly, first linking it to concerns about obesity, then a more direct video apology for behaving poorly.
And she handled it with some humor later, parodying it on SNL. Smart way to try to move past it.
It shows growth. And she admitted in 2020 that she'd held back from interviews for a while, fearing misinterpretation or the diva label.
Which demonstrates a very thoughtful, cautious approach to media engagement, learning from past experiences.
Despite these bumps, her connection with fans, especially online, is massive.
Oh, huge. One of the most followed people on Instagram globally. First woman passed 150 million, then 200 million followers.
Fifth most followed artist on Spotify, second most subscribed female solo act on YouTube. The numbers are staggering.
But she's also deliberate about how she uses social media. Deleting her Twitter account in 2021 was a big move.
Yeah, explaining she wanted to communicate directly with fans without messages being twisted by people who don't speak our language.
Prioritizing that healthy relationship to my fans and to art, as she put it, while still being very much an on-the-internet person.
It shows a really active engagement with the challenges of modern fame, trying to maintain authenticity.
And beyond the music and image, she's built this incredible business empire. She's a serious entrepreneur.
Seriously, the fragrance line alone is mind-blowing. Launched with Luxe Brands back in 2015.
And has generated over $1 billion in global retail sales since then. $1 billion.
It's the most searched celebrity fragrance brand out there.
18 fragrances so far. Ari, Sweet Like Candy, Moonlight. Clout was apparently a massive seller at Ulta.
Yeah, supposedly sold one bottle every 11 seconds at its peak. Crazy. Plus, thank you. Next, REM, which won an award. God is a woman.
And then she launched her own makeup line, REM Beauty, in November 2021.
Distributed through Ulta and Sephora. And it quickly won Best New Brand at the Allure Awards. Shows it has real credibility.
Definitely. And that's on top of countless other endorsements and collaborations over the years.
Coach handbags, Emmy Viva Glam, Lipsy London Fashion, those Brookstone cat ear headphones.
The character in a Final Fantasy game, Reebok Ambassador, American Express, Starbucks Cloud Macchiato, Givenchy, Swarovski. The list goes on.
And the reported figure of earning $1.6 million per sponsored Instagram post just shows the power of her personal brand.
It really does. Her business ventures aren't just side projects. They show a sophisticated understanding of brand extension, direct consumer engagement. Her name alone drives massive retail success.
Something else that's been consistent throughout her career is her commitment to giving back, starting really young.
Yeah, it's quite inspiring. At just 10 years old, she co-founded this youth singing group in South Florida called Kids Who Care.
And they weren't just singing for fun. They performed at charity events and raised over $500,000 by 2007.
Incredible for kids. And then in 2009, through Broadway in South Africa, she and her brother Frankie went to Guguletu.
Right, teaching music and dance to children there. That kind of hands-on work early on must have been formative.
Absolutely. It shows philanthropy wasn't just something she adopted later with fame. It was ingrained from a young age. It built that foundation for her later activism.
And as her platform grew, her advocacy expanded to cover a really wide range of social and political issues.
Yeah, quite consistently. Anti-bullying campaigns early on, like Delete Digital Drama.
Animal rights advocacy, famously speaking out against SeaWorld after watching Blackfish. And she promotes pet adoption constantly.
Performed at Stand Up to Cancer in memory of her grandfather, connecting personal loss to public action.
And she's been a very staunch feminist. That essay she wrote on Twitter about misogyny and double standards in media coverage.
That got a lot of attention, calling out the focus on female artists' relationships over their work. Very powerful.
Huge supporter of LGBT rights, too. Performing at Pride events, supporting Miley Cyrus's Happy Hippie Foundation.
And she cited her brother Frankie being gay as part of why she left the Catholic Church. Makes her advocacy very personal.
Released Better Days with Victoria Monet for Black Lives Matter in 2016. Participated in the Concert for Charlottesville, March for Our Lives.
Donated proceeds from a tour show to Planned Parenthood. She doesn't shy away from taking a stand.
During COVID, she donated directly to fans, supported Project 100 for families in need, sent gifts to kids in Manchester hospitals at Christmas.
Signed open letters for the Equality Act against book bans. Partnered with BetterHelp to give away millions in therapy.
Launched the Protect and Defend Trans Youth Fund, pledging to match donations up to $1.5 million. Signed the Bans Off Our Bodies ad for abortion rights.
Politically, she's been clear with endorsements. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Spoken out against Trump policies. Supported impeachment calls.
Signed the Artist Store ceasefire letter regarding Gaza. Shared fundraisers for humanitarian aid. It's a broad and consistent engagement.
It really highlights this thread of activism woven through her whole career, evolving from personal causes to taking stands on major social and political issues, often rooted in her own values or experiences. She uses her platform.
And related to that, she made a really powerful call regarding mental health in the entertainment industry.
Yes, in February 2025, advocating for therapy for young entertainers, suggesting weekly appointments be built into contracts.
That feels particularly significant coming from her, given her own openness about PTSD and anxiety after Manchester.
And her history of being in therapy since she was young, after the parents' divorce.
So it's not just talk. It's using her lived experience to push for systemic change in her industry. What kind of impact did that have?
It's potentially huge. It raises that critical question about the industry's responsibility to young talent. Her advocacy is deeply personal, informed by her own journey. It shows real leadership, trying to create a more supportive environment based on what she knows are immense pressures. It's about changing the system from within.
Okay, let's talk legacy. The numbers alone are just staggering. She's rewritten the rulebook for success in the digital age.
Undeniably one of the best-selling artists ever. Over 90 million records sold worldwide, estimated.
And all her studio albums are certified platinum or higher in the U.S. Every single one charted for at least a full year on the Billboard 200. That's longevity.
My Everything is her biggest certified album. 4X Platinum. Thank you. Next is her longest charting, 171 weeks. Incredible staying power.
In the U.S., she's the fifth highest certified female artist for digital singles. Overall, 25th highest certified artist.
And the streaming numbers are just astronomical. One of the most streamed artists of all time.
First female artist to pass 90 billion global streams back in 2021. Most streamed female artist of the 2010s on Spotify and Apple Music.
Currently second most streamed woman ever on Spotify. Sixth overall. Over 54 billion streams there alone.
First woman with 1 and 2 billion streams on a single album. First artist with 5 albums hitting 4 billion streams each.
Holds the record for most songs over a billion streams for a female artist on Spotify. 21 of them.
Became the first woman with over 123 million monthly listeners on Spotify in 2024. And even Santa Tell Me is the most streamed 2010s Christmas song.
It's not just popularity. It's profound, sustained impact. She's defined what success looks like in the streaming era. A true architect of modern pop dominance.
And it's not just sales and streams. The awards and critical recognition are extensive.
2 Grammy wins, including that Best Pop Vocal Album for Sweetener, a Brit Award, 10 MTV VMAs, fifth most for a woman.
3 AMAs, 2 Billboard Music Awards, including Top Female Artist, loads of Kids' Choice, People's Choice, iHeartRadio, Teen Choice Awards.
Billboard recognized her early as Rising Star in 2014, then Woman of the Year in 2018. Named her the biggest pop star of 2019.
IFPI listed her among the world's top 10 best-selling artists 3 years running.
And the acting acclaim for Wicked Oscar, Golden Globe, BAFTA, SAG nominations. That's huge crossover recognition.
Plus Time 100 Most Influential twice. Wax figures everywhere. Nicknames like Princess of Pop, Princess of Christmas.
Rolling Stone ranking her among the 200 greatest singers. Katy Perry calling her the best singer of our generation. That peer respect is significant.
It shows she's not just commercially successful, but genuinely respected for her artistry and impact across the board.
And the chart records. They are just unprecedented, leading to nearly 40 Guinness World Records.
9 singles topping the Billboard Hot 100. 23 top 10 songs total. 16 of those debuting in the top 10.
And that unique record. The lead single from her first 7 albums debuting top 10. No one else has done that.
First artist whose first 5 number ones debuted at the top, broke the record for most number one debuts overall.
First female artist to top the Global 200, Global X Glories OIS, and Hot 100 all at once.
Tied the Beatles record by holding the top 3 spots on the Hot 100 simultaneously.
Surpassed Paul McCartney for most number one duets. Fourth woman with the most Hot 100 entries ever. Tied with Taylor Swift for most number one debuts.
The Guinness records cover everything. Spotify records, fastest UK chart tricks, replacing herself at number one. It's relentless.
This isn't just hitting milestones. It's fundamentally altering the record books. A testament to her talent, strategy, and connection with a massive global audience.
And finally, the ultimate validation, perhaps, influencing other artists.
Right. When your peers, especially successful ones, cite you as an inspiration, that speaks volumes.
And the list is impressive and diverse. Billie Eilish, Chappell Roan, Charlie Puth,
Madison Beer, Megan Trainor, Troye Sivan, Zara Larsson.
Even Jungkook from BTS, Lana Del Rey. It spans genres and styles.
It shows her reach extends far beyond her own fan base, impacting the sound and approach of the next wave of musicians. That's a powerful legacy. #outro.
So wrapping this all up, what does it all mean? From those early Boca Raton performances to shattering global records and starring in huge films, Ariana Grande's journey is just this incredible story of consistent talent, yes, but also strategic evolution.
Yeah.
And this unwavering commitment to her craft and also to her values. She's clearly more than just a pop star. She's a sharp businesswoman, a vocal advocate, a true powerhouse in modern entertainment, always redefining things.
Absolutely. We've seen how she's constantly pushed artistic boundaries, rewritten the rules of commercial success in the streaming age, and used her massive platform for real social impact. Her story really makes you think critically about what celebrity means today and the power an artist has to shape not just music, but culture itself. through her choices, her control, her advocacy.
So as you reflect on this incredible, really multifaceted career, we'll leave you with this provocative thought to mull over. In this constantly changing media landscape, what new boundaries might an artist like Ariana Grande, with this unique mix of vocal mastery, business drive, and deep social engagement, explore next? And how might that continue to redefine what we even mean by the term superstar? Thank you for diving deep with us today. We really hope you feel truly well-informed.